Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to be talking today about the live it part of the basic gospel. If you've believed in Jesus Christ, you've heard about his death, burial, and resurrection, you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've been made alive in him. That's what salvation is. It's a gift of life. Jesus Christ comes to live inside of you. That's what makes you a believer. That's what makes you a Christian. Well, once that happens, then there's new life there that wants to be lived out. Well, where do we live that out? We live it out in relationships, one with another. We live it out in relationships within our homes, with our mates, with our kids, with our parents. That's where we live it out. We live it out with our friends. We live it out with our fellow workers. We live it out with those that we worship with at churches and that sort of thing. But that's where the gospel message is lived out, in relationships. And for a relationship to be successful, for a relationship to be strong, it has to be built on the foundation of forgiveness. There's no other way. That is the foundation for every single relationship. It's the very foundation of our relationship with God. If God was not willing to forgive us in Christ Jesus, we would have no option or no opportunity to be in relationship with him. So he took the initiative. He sent Jesus on our behalf to die in our place, to take away our sins so that we could be brought into relationship with him. That's how God created Adam and Eve to begin with. He created them for relationship. And that's, I think, some of the great truth about those first two chapters of Genesis. We see the tenderness of that relationship and the intimacy of that relationship and the personal nature of Adam and Eve's relationship with God. But sin entered into the picture, and sin was like a big old meat cleaver. It just separated the two. There was no more relationship. Well, what did God do? He sent Jesus to forgive our sins, to take them away, to send them away, so that we could be brought back into relationship with God. And I love how Peter put it in his first letter. He writes this: for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Why did God forgive our sins? So that we could be in relationship with him. If we did not know that Christ has forgiven our sins, we're going to see God as an enemy. Why? Because our evil behavior will make sure that we see him as an enemy. But God took the initiative. He said, I forgive you. That's his choice. You know, he's the first person to ever forgive another person.
Yeah.
God forgiving man. If we want to know anything about forgiveness, we better look at the one who brought it into being. That's God himself.
Indeed.
And when we stand on the foundation of his forgiveness to us, then we'll be able to provide that forgiveness to others. So just make a note of this. Every successful relationship is built on the foundation of forgiveness. If you want to have a solid relationship with your wife or your husband, if you want to have a solid relationship with your children, if you want to have a solid relationship, a strong relationship with your parents or your in-laws or those that you worship with, plant your feet in the forgiveness of God that's been extended to you in Christ Jesus. That's what makes a relationship successful. And that's basic gospel. Well, we have plenty of open lines right now, 1-800-677-9377. That's 1-800-677-9377. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. If you have questions about forgiveness, if you have questions about relationships, now's the time to call. 1-800-677-9377. We have a wonderful offer this month. It's a book that I wrote a couple of years ago. It's called Love Is. It is a look at the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Forgiveness is all a part of that. You know, God was patient with us. He was kind to us. He did not keep records of our wrongs and does not keep records of our wrongs. That's what frees us to embrace this relationship we have with Him. We want to put that in your hands for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. We will send that to you as our way of saying thank you. It's a valuable resource. I think it can really give you a deeper insight in just how God loves you as a human being. So take advantage of that. All the information is at basicgospel.net. Well, we're going to go to our phone lines and talk with Eugene, who's listening to us in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Eugene.
Hey, how you doing, my fellow co-workers in Christ? How are you brothers doing today?
We're doing well, thank you. How
are
you?
I have a question. I'm sorry. The question is, a friend of mine is going through a divorce, and he came to me for biblical advice with the situation. And, you know, the problem is this. He and his wife had a divorce a long time ago. Now, he feels that she belongs to him now because she is his wife. And once they marry, no matter, they both passed that, they both remarried, right? I'm sorry, I'm giving you the situation. They both remarried. The wife is in a 10-year marriage. Now, he came to the conclusion that she belongs to him because in the Bible it says that a woman should not leave her. When you're married, you should not leave each other. That's in the epistles. Well, actually, it's not in the epistles. It means like in the epistles it says if you two split up, don't go out and marry each other. But if you want to be with someone, you should come back together. Meaning for a couple that did not divorce or anything, they just separated. But I was telling them in the teachings of Jesus, it's only grounds for divorce is for sexual morality. You understand? And that's what happened.
What's your question, Eugene?
Okay, the question is, what are the grounds for a divorce? And does that come from what Jesus was speaking about when he said grounds of sexual morality?
Well, Eugene, adultery is really the only thing that Jesus said, you know, was grounds for divorce. But even there, he said, if possible, forgive. If you can forgive, if you can extend forgiveness, then there is a possibility for reconciliation. And God is the forgiving God. He forgave us in Christ Jesus. He has come to live inside of us in the form of the Holy Spirit. And he can work forgiveness in our hearts toward other people. Even forgiveness like that when it comes to adultery. And that's a painful rejection. That is a deep, deep hurt that someone experiences. But there's the power of God's Spirit living in us. And so if we can entrust ourselves to God's Spirit, allow Him to work forgiveness in our hearts, just as God has forgiven us, if we're willing to extend that, there's a possibility for reconciliation. So that's always the encouragement in the Word of God. It's always to be reconciled. If that's an impossibility, the hurt's just too much to overcome in an adulterous situation, then you move on. But if possible, if the Lord can work forgiveness in your heart, trust Him to do so, extend it, and leave the results of that in God's hands.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Eugene. Sure appreciate your call. Well, let's go out to Union City, California, and talk with Linwood on KDIA. Hi, Linwood.
wanted to say, I can really tell your heart, man. I appreciate that. My question is like, okay, like, you know, we know that when you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But my question is, what makes it so difficult? I'm just saying, I think, at least for me, that just seems too easy. And sometimes I catch myself, even though I know that God has forgiven me, it's under the blood, it's a done deal, I'm not planning on doing it again. It's not like, okay, now that he's forgiven me, let me go see what else I can do. No, it's nothing like that. But it's too easy is what I'm trying to say. And I'll just take my answer off the air.
Okay, Linwood, we certainly appreciate the call and the encouraging words, and we certainly appreciate that question because that's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah,
that's
really
the nitty gritty of life and living out this basic gospel message. And here's the deal. God is the only one that has the authority to forgive sins. There is a wonderful story that Mark records. It's recorded elsewhere in the gospels, but it's about the paralytic. So Jesus is in Capernaum, and he's in a house, and the house is just filled with people, wall to wall, no room. I mean, they were just pressed in as closely as they could get. Well, these four guys come up, and they have this paralytic with them, and he's on a stretcher, and they come up to the door, and I'm sure there's people just out the door, and there's no way to get in, no way whatsoever. And so they climb up on top the roof, and they drag the paralytic up there, and they open up a hole in the roof, and they lower the guy down in front of Jesus. Now, Jesus was impressed with their willingness, their resourcefulness, and their faith. Obviously, they believed something about Jesus, that he could heal this paralytic. And as soon as the paralytic was there, he did not say one single word. He did not look at Jesus and say, "Would you please heal me?" He didn't say, "Have mercy on me." He didn't say anything. He just appeared before Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Where did that come from?
Yeah.
Why did Jesus say that? Well, there was teachers of the law that were there, and they started thinking. They weren't having a conversation. They were just thinking. You know, this was going on in their minds, playing out up here between those ears. And they were saying, "Man, he's just a man. He's just a mere man. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Their theology was absolutely right. God is the only one who has the power to send away our sins. And that's exactly what forgiveness is. It's to send away. We see a picture of that in the Old Testament with the Day of Atonement. There was the blood of the bulls and the goats, and that was poured out on the mercy seat. And then some of that blood was placed on the head of a scapegoat, of a goat. And they would send that out into the wilderness. What was that a picture of? Our sins being taken away from us. Old Testament says they've been taken away from us as far as the east is from the west. That's an infinite distance. That's a long way.
Yeah.
and that's what God does with our sins. He takes them away from us and sends them infinite distance away. That's what forgives us. And only God has the power to do that. And that's the point that Jesus was making. And so he looked at those teachers of the law and he says, I said what I said, because I want you to know that as the Son of God, the Son of Man, I have authority to forgive sins. And if I say they're forgiven, guess what? They are forgiven. That was his choice, his initiative. And guess what God says to each and every one of us? Son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. That's an act of grace. There's nothing within us that merits that. There's nothing that we can do to move the heart of God to act on our behalf as far as forgiveness of sins is concerned. God chooses. And the choice was made obvious to us in the fact that he sent Jesus. So our sins have been forgiven. Now, the reason that they were forgiven is exactly what we talked about at the beginning of the broadcast, so that we could be brought back to God. Relationship is what matters to God. He desires us to be in relationship with Him. And so He's done all the work in Jesus to bring that reality about. And so we think, you know, here's where our human thinking gets a little messed up. You know, we sin, we feel guilty as a result of that. We feel like there's a black mark beside our names, that black mark has now become an obstacle between me and God, and I need to do something to get rid of that. And we start thinking, you know, Lord, I'm never going to do that again. Lord, I promise, I'm not going to do that again. And we should be thinking, wait a minute, I've been called into relationship. I know God, and God knows me. I don't have to fear. I can confess that. I can say what's true. That's part of the relationship. And I know I can say what's true. I know I can confess what I've done, because I know what Christ has done. I know that God has already made the choice to forgive. God's a forgiving God. That's His nature. That's who He is. Love forgives. He's always going to do that. And so we can count on that. So it's not that this is an easy believism thing or a cheap grace, as Bonhoeffer called it. It cost Jesus His life. But forgiveness isn't the whole story of salvation. Forgiveness is the part that establishes a foundation for our relationship with God. It's about life. And when we come to Him, that's what we receive, is life. And that life wants to be lived out in us. And we allow it to when we know that the sin issue has been taken care of once and for all. That's why this forgiveness thing is so vitally important. That's why it's key for a strong relationship with the Lord and a strong relationship one with another. It's good news, isn't it?
Oh, it is. You're talking about stuff that I had to wrestle with so hard back in my dark ages. I love the fact that Jesus said He's forgiven me, but I couldn't let go of the thought that I had to demonstrate some sort of worth so that I deserved what He said was a free gift. And as long as I related to Him on the basis of, well, Lord, this is just too easy, there must be something I have to do. As long as I did that, I was afraid of Him. I couldn't be in relationship with Him. I had to let go of that human thinking and let the Spirit convince me that what He did, He really did.
Yeah. We turn a relationship built on love, God's love for us, mm-hmm. to a performance.
Yes.
We perform, He rewards. That's law-based stuff.
Yes.
That's not relationship. There's no relationship there. Our fear tries to turn grace into a reward. And once it becomes a reward to us, it's no longer grace. God forgives in grace, by grace. That's how He forgives. It's His choice. We can plead and beg and all of that. That does not move God's heart one inch.
No, not at all.
He's moving His heart toward us because He's choosing to do so.
And as long as I think I have to do something to deserve it, sin will always be a problem.
Absolutely.
The only way to have any kind of improvement in your behavior, in the way you relate to other people and your attitudes, is to let God finish this for you.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, that's good news. Again, we want to mention this book, Love Is. We really don't know the true nature of God's love for us. We read here in the New Testament that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But what in the world does that mean? How does He express that love to us? That's what this book is all about. And once you know the love of God, you can respond back to Him in love, and that becomes the foundation for all the relationships that you have. So we want to put that in your hands, available for a gift of any amount this month, The Basic Gospel, $20, $50, $100. That's going to help us connect other people around the world to the love of Christ. So it's a win-win situation for you. You help spread the good news. You help get this word of God out into people's lives. And then we say thank you by sending you a resource, something that you can pass on to others as well. So again, all the information is at basicgospel.net. The book is Love Is. Just click the icon on the front page and follow all the instructions right there. Well, let's go to Mary Jo, who's listening to us in Louisville, Kentucky on WFIA. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. We just had the Kentucky Derby, and I don't... Is it wrong to gamble now and then?
Well, Mary Jo, I look at that as in this way. Is the Holy Spirit going to lead you to do something like that? If you are totally 100% under the control of God's Spirit and everything that you did was at his impulse, at his leading, would he lead you to gamble? And I think the answer to that is no, he wouldn't. Why? Because, you know, people are just gambling because, you know, some people are just, you know, thrill seekers. They like the thrill of it. Others are gambling because they're hoping their ship is going to come in. They're hoping that that's a way out of financial debt. That's the way they're hoping for a get-rich sort of thing. They're hoping to hit it big. So I don't think it's something that the Holy Spirit's going to lead you as a believer to do.
Well, I like the horses. I think they're pretty.
Well, they are pretty. You can watch them without gambling. I mean, if you choose to gamble, it's not like that's the end of the world. I'm just saying, when those things kind of come across my desk, so to speak, and I'm, you know, have opportunity to make this choice or to make a different choice, it's always, how's the Holy Spirit going to lead me in this? And I think that's the framework in which we need to think through every situation that comes our way. Where is the Holy Spirit leading me? And I think that's a powerful, powerful foundation for life, a good way to make positive decisions. Well, Mary Jo, we sure appreciate your call. Thank you. Well, let's go to Gil in Queens, New York. Hi, Gil.
Happy Sheep Day. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I wanted to just share a little bit. I was writing a paper on submission a while back, and I wanted to write down about the submission and love and the freedom in submission. Like, for example, Ephesians 5:21 says that submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. And I also had mentioned that when a wife is dearly loved, she loves to be submissive to her husband because she's dearly loved and nurtured and appreciated by him. Yeah. I put down the issue of James 1:17 that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like the shifting shadows. And Jesus said in John 10:10, I mentioned that he came to give us life and that more abundantly.
Yeah. Well, Gail, let me jump right in. We are just about out of time. As always, we love hearing from you, and I think you're hitting the nail on the head. Part of love is submitting one to another.
It's a both-sided issue.
Yep. Well, thank you, Gail. Thanks for your call.
Well, friends, we're just about out of time for this edition of Basic Gospel, and thanks for joining us. I want to talk to you a little bit about relationships. Now, talk about a challenge. On one hand, they're filled with heartache and pain, testing your beliefs and revealing your inner thoughts and your inner insecurities. Well, on the other hand, they add meaning and joy to your life. To make them strong, they need to stand on the foundation of God's love for you. And that's our hope for you. Toward this end, we are once again offering Bob Christopher's book, Love Is, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Just click the link on our homepage at basicgospel.net, that's basicgospel.net, or dial 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 to make your gift and request your copy of Love Is by Bob Christopher. Our June Bible Conference, of course, is called Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing on a Broken World, and it features John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and Bob Christopher. For information and registration for this wonderful conference, which I hope you'll take advantage of, please visit our website, stand2014.com. Again, that's coming up June 19th through the 21st, right here in the Dallas area. All the information available online at stand2014.com. www.thebasicgospel.com. We hope you can come and be a part of this with us. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, or rather a great evening, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.